Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
You are listening to the GAA Hour, brought to you by Sports Joe and Shore. 72-hour non-stop protection, tested to the limits. Shore, it won't let you down.
Hello, folks. You're all very welcome to the show, brought to you by Shore, 72-hour protection. It's All-Ireland football final week, and after all that, it's Dublin and Kerry again. And I'm delighted to say that to preview and to talk the talk about the big game, myself and Lee Costello are joined by Rian O'Neill. Rian, how's things?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, looking forward to the final this weekend. It should be a good game.
Definitely should be. Rian, you're a busy man. You came straight out of work down to us, an electrician, so you know all about the hard graft.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't ask too many advisors with that, me and hard graft, but yeah, listen, that's just the lane of work going in then. I suppose it's not too common anymore to have people walking on site, you know, playing GAA. It's more everyone sort of going down the teaching route and that, and getting their summers off, but I like what I do, so I'm happy enough to keep it going.
Not too many lads getting the hands dirty like yourself, but is it tough going during the championship, like when you're starting early like that?
I suppose I have a sound enough boss, and he's sound, he lets me off a few days when I need to get away for training weekends or whatever, and he looks after me that way. There's me and the two Mackens on the team as well. They do a bit of concreting, so they'd be more hands-on than me, I'd say. So they'd be more tired than me. They'd be coming to train sunburnt to the death or whatever. So they'd be more full out than me.
Would you boys be looking at the teachers during the summer and thinking, we made the wrong decision here sometimes?
Yeah, but then we'd be looking at the bank balance then, and it works the other way, you know what I mean?
So. Yeah, not too bad. So I suppose you'd prefer to be playing on Sunday, but you're back with the club. Paul Herty had a video up which bombing a free over from 50 yards there at the weekend.
Yeah, back with the club now this few weeks. I suppose we didn't want the year to end the way it did with Armagh, but that's the way it went, and there's no other choice but to get back on the horse. And we had a game there on Friday. We sort of had to win it, so it's back playing Friday, and we got over the line, thankfully.
Is that just are you putting that down to technique now, or are you drawing a boot at one like that?
No. I've tucked them freeze a million times in cross, you know what I mean? So I know what way the wind's going and how to kick it. So I wouldn't say it's bread and butter, but it's what you've practiced all your life, you know what I mean, up in the field and cross. So once a free like that comes, I've no hesitation to have a go at it.
Does it help a lot when it is the home pitch?
Oh, it does, yeah. Either there, the ladder grounds I've kicked, I don't know many freezing them. You go up on your own and you're kicking and messing about from out around there sometimes as well, you know what I mean? You've the confidence then once the free comes up from there that you're going to nail it over the bar.
Yeah, definitely. Like, is it Ryan O'Donoghue who kind of talked to us? He was saying that it's not quantity is the way he would look at his practice. It's more kind of quality. Would you be the same way, that way, that you just take a small few?
Yeah, I'd be the same. Yeah, maybe I've certain positions I take them from. I have 9 different positions I'll take them from, and then 6 positions around the 45, and I maybe do 2 or 3 sets of that at a time and try to get a few kicks in before and after training. And that's what I usually do. There's no point going out and kicking the legs yourself, in my view, kicking, 200 odd balls, you know what I mean? I sort of try to keep it to 40 or 50 shots, and if your conversion rate is high with them, then you're going to take that into a match.
How long would that take you? Like, how long is one of them sessions?
It depends. Usually it would be about half an hour I'd spend, but then if a few of the boys are there, you might end up hitting a few penalties or whatever after that. Not that you'd think we were hitting penalties, but the way we're going with Armagh. But yeah, if a few of the boys are there, it might last a bit longer. Me and Marshy, my brother, we go up. We have a bit of free kick competition as well. The teams, it's nice to get a wee bit of competitiveness into it as well, you know what I mean?
You have two younger brothers as well?
Two younger brothers, yeah. One of them hung up the boots there last year, and one of them's still playing for Dermot Minors there, and he's minor across, so hopefully he'll break on the cross scene now at the end of the year and hopefully make a bit of an impact for us.
Right, the other lad had early retirement.
He had early retirement, yeah. He didn't have much heed in it. He'd just be looking at us going out to train and laughing, saying, what are you wasting all your time going out the door to train for? But sure, it is what it is. If he wants to pursue other things, you know what I mean, there's no pressure ever going to be put on him to get up into the field.
Yeah, definitely. It's hard to believe that there's one lad that doesn't, but fair play to him doing his own thing. How have you been since the Monaghan match? Have you watched it back?
No, I haven't watched it back, no, and I don't know if I could watch it back again. Been beating penalties again. It's a hard one to take, losing in penalty shootout three times in the 1 year, the quarter final last year, also final, obviously, against Monaghan again. Like, it's a bitter pill to swallow, but I suppose we put ourselves in that position, and also finally we were 2 points up and didn't see it out, and then we were point up against Monaghan with time up, and the ref gave them another attack or whatever, and they got up the field and got a score, you know what I mean? Which it was a hard defeat to take, because we felt we could have pushed on into a semi-final, you know, and we haven't been there yet, but it's been a tough few weeks, but you just got to get on with it then.
Is it even harder to take when it's penalties and, like, you haven't actually been beaten in the match, or is it weird, kind of?
It's definitely harder, yeah, when you haven't necessarily lost the match as such, you know what I mean? It comes down to, I suppose there is skill involved, but there's luck too involved with if a keeper goes the right way in Gaelic, they're inevitably going to save the ball with the size of the nets, you know what I mean? In soccer, if a keeper goes the right way, it's 50-50 whether they get it or not. So it's hard to take, and it's just a signal altogether. Yeah.
What do you think of the rule that it's the same five people? It seems a bit strange. So you five all go up yourselves, and then you can't talk to the management again, the rest of your teammates, you're just sort of stranded there.
Yeah, well, we weren't even aware of that. I wasn't even aware of that until about the fourth penalty came around, and the fourth official, whoever it was, says, you boys are going to have to go again here if he scores this. And I goes, Jesus Christ, I thought my job was done there, scoring one. But okay, I suppose maybe it should go on to another new five, you know what I mean, and not have the same five people going continuously, because it just would have kept going on and on, you know what I mean, until someone missed. And I suppose it's not fair having the pressure on the same five people for 10 penalties or whatever it was.
Yeah, it's a weird rule, isn't it?
It is. I'd say it's hard to watch even when you've scored your own. You're probably watching through your hands, watching your teammates. Like,
Of course, they're the boys you soldier with the whole year, you know what I mean? And some of your best friends are taking penalties, and you'd be thinking the worst for them if they miss, you know what I mean? Like, Caelan Cumasi missed his penalty, and We'd be from the same club, and we'd travel together and all the train, you know what I mean? And it was tough to watch him miss the penalty at the end, and then people obviously would try and blame him, but we know that it wasn't his fault at all, you know what I mean?
Because I've seen Kieran Donaghy, I think there was a picture of him down the other end of the field, and he had his back turned to the whole thing.
Yeah, I suppose at that stage there was nothing they could have done, you know what I mean? It was just completely down to us, and I suppose having been there before, they were just fearing the worst, I suppose, at that stage.
After a loss like that, like, for the next week, 2 weeks, it's probably the only time you have off in the whole year. Like, it must be difficult when the only time you have off is a time that you're kind of depressed that you're after losing.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. Well, for the first few days, we didn't see outside much of four walls of a pub around Armagh, but yeah. After that, you sort of have to get back to working, back to normality and stuff, and sort of just try to get on with it. But it is hard to take when everyone you meet wants to talk about the penalties and what happened this and what happened that, you know what I mean? When the last thing you really want to do is talk about it.
Yeah, I suppose when you are like so close and I know you don't want to be getting like moral victories or anything, but it probably gives you the idea that you're right there.
Yeah, I suppose we've been there since the league maybe last year when we got a good few wins on our belt and then we went on a bit of a run in the championship. But I suppose now them getting a run in the championship's not what we want to be doing. We want to be pushing on now to a semi-final of an All-Ireland and maybe on to a final, you know what I mean? So we were itching to get over that quarter-final this year to see where we could go, and ultimately we didn't get over it, and it's another year left wondering what could have been, you know what I mean?
Is it hard watching the semi-finals then after when you're thinking you could be there?
Yeah, it's hard watching, I suppose, the Monaghan and Dublin game, especially knowing that it could have been you playing in a packed Croke Park against the Dubs, like, where else would you want to be, you know what I mean? And especially the way Monaghan put it up to him, and then you'd be thinking, what if that was us? We could have pushed on a bit more, but I suppose you're only torturing yourself if you keep going over that in your head.
Did you go to it, or did you watch it at home?
No, I didn't go. I watched it at the house, Justin.
Right. Would you watch it with the family, or what would the crack be? Or?
I actually watched it with one of the boys. He came over to the house, and me and him just watched it, and we just watched it, and there wasn't much talking done to it, and in case Monaghan went on and won. Not that there was anything against Monaghan, but it's just the fact, you know, that Monaghan beat you, and then if they had to go on and beat the Dubs, then they were in All-Ireland final, you know what I mean?
How does the other brother get word in when he's not, when you're all watching football and he's no interest?
Oh, he still has a bit of interest. He played the whole way up, but I've very rarely seen him sitting down watching the game. He just patters off and does his own thing, you know what I mean?
Right. And is your dad used to play obviously for Louth and Armagh.
Yeah.
Is he mad into watching football as well?
Yeah, he's mad into watching it, sure. He thinks he's Joe Brawley or something watching under the game, you know what I mean? You can't keep him quiet. I think he was up at the match there, the two semi-finals, so he was in the house when we were watching it. But yeah, he's mad into football and he's always be looking at things. He used to manage Cross when Cross won two All-Irelands in a row. He was joint manager of that, and he just always be keeping an eye out what we're doing and seeing where we can improve, you know.
Yeah, sure, all dads think they're experts, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. Dads and mums, I think they both think they're experts.
The two of them in your house. You went to America last summer, you didn't bother with that this summer?
No, I think the deadline's was actually over. It ends the 1st of July or something, but yeah, I went over last year, me and one other boy, Samara, Conor Macken, went over to Parnell's in Chicago, and it was a really serious summer over there. It's just great, you know, to experience something different. You don't often get a chance to sort of relax off in your training or whatever, and it was just nice to get away for the 6 or 7 weeks that we were away and just experience something different, and met great people over there that we were playing with from other counties and whatever, and the standard of football was very high as well, and all the games were pretty entertaining as well.
Well, just on, you were playing with Michael McKiernan and Conor Miller, I think.
Yeah.
But then the same team. So what's it like, you know, going up against people that you would be going hell or leather against, you know, through the Ulster Championship and stuff beforehand?
Yeah, I suppose it was weird, but once you talk to the boys once or twice, you know, like all that's put aside, and it's good to be playing with them boys instead of, you know, trying to knock lumps out of each other playing against them. Like, so yeah, it was nice to play with boys from different county and learn a few things off them as well during the time we were over there.
Mm-hmm. Probably nice to get away from all the talk about penalty shootout as well, like in Armagh.
Yeah, I think we were bait on the Saturday, wherever it was, and we were gone by next Tuesday, so we didn't really have much time to hear much about what was being said about the game or whatever. We just sort of went on, and once we get over there, there's very little talk about it then, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Were you doing electrician work over there, or did you have anything like that lined up, or just tip away?
No, I worked in a warehouse with a boy from Ireland. I worked in his warehouse just driving around the forklift and stuff. There wasn't a great deal of work done when we were over there now, but
you're a real handyman.
The real handyman, that's me, yeah.
Well, McGeaney and Donaghy, like working under them, would they have been lads that you, when you were growing up, that McGeaney, I'd say, especially, would have been a hero of yours?
Absolutely, yeah. We grew up, I obviously grew up, we're top four. There were also finals, All-Ireland semi-finals, finals year after year, you know what I mean? And Geezer was obviously the leader of that team, and everyone in Armagh sort of looked up to him and still does, you know what I mean? So then to get the chance to work on them and learn off him and learn different bits off Geezer, it's unreal. Like, just learn the sort of experience he has, and and what he thinks of you as well, you know what I mean? He'll always drive you on and keep pushing you, which is a great thing. He'll not just let you sit in your comfort zone, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like when lads like him are getting, say, criticism this year, is it, and you clearly like have so much respect for him and love like him being in charge, like is that kind of thing annoy you like when the boys are getting given out about?
Well, I suppose it's sort of, if they're giving out about it, it's sort of a reflection of how we're playing on the field, you know what I mean? So it sort of works both ways, that people are sort of having a pop at us as well, you know what I mean? And then we have to lift our game to sort of try quieting them critics down a bit, you know what I mean? But you're never going to make everyone happy, are you? And I suppose we did put in a few good performances then. But I suppose now every team in Ireland sort of playing sort of a similar style of football, you know what I mean? And I suppose in Armagh, people just like to criticise more because Geezer's been there a long time or whatever it is, I don't know. And people outside the county, I think, look to do the same with Geezer. But he'd had a full back in the whole year in the group, and we knew what we had to do.
Because they were saying all sorts this year. They were saying that you knocked him out at one stage.
Yeah. I think that happened near the end of the league. I pulled my quad or whatever, and then apparently me and him were fighting. But I think a later job would suit me than trying to knock Geezer out of thinking.
It'd be fairly tough, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I think he does MMA.
Yeah, I'd be laying the hip on the ground somewhere too.
I'm just on that. I always find that really interesting because for some reason there's a real curiosity about you and an interest, and rumours just circulate, WhatsApp groups, what these voice notes. It's bizarre, really. Mm-hmm. Where do you think that is? What do you think is such a, maybe related to Ash McConville and things like that too, a bit of a name? But other than that, like it's strange.
Yeah, it is strange, I suppose. I don't know. I suppose over the league there was two or three things, different WhatsApp things or whatever, but I don't know why it is. Maybe because I don't really talk in the media too much or whatever it is. People like to start getting the ball rolling about things. I don't really know, but I don't pass little no more marks about it. You know what I mean? I just, if people want to talk, that's up to them, and I'll just do myself in the field at the end of the day.
If you stay talking to us, you won't get any more rumours.
Yeah, exactly.
Will you go to the final Sunday?
Yeah, I have two tickets for the final. I'll go up to the final, yeah. Me and one of the boys might go up, and it'll be a good day out, and hopefully it'll be a good match as well.
So you'll head with one of the boys. Like, when you go to a match like that, like, are you just kind of sitting back enjoying it, or are you looking out at players and seeing what they're kind of doing and things you can learn even about teams and stuff like that?
Oh yeah, of course you'll take learnings out of them games and watching some of the best forwards in Ireland, you know, Clifford and the likes of Conn and stuff, and watching what they're doing. But you can sit back and enjoy the game as well, like, you know what I mean? You're not playing, and if you're too over focused and looking at certain players, etc., you won't enjoy the game. So I just like to sit back and enjoy it and soak up the atmosphere as well, you know what I mean? It'll be a great occasion on Sunday with Kerry and Dublin both playing, like it always is. Great occasion.
Yeah, there's something different about when it's Kerry and Dublin. Lee, I was only watching, someone had the highlights up on Twitter of the 2019 game when they played, and like the very first score you can hear the roar, and I know there was a lot of noise there at the weekend in the Kilkenny Limerick game, but when it's Dublin and Kerry it just seems extra kind of mad.
Yeah, no, it is definitely. There's just so much history between the two, and they're sort of seen as the two like powerhouses, you know, off Gaelic football, whatever way you look at it. And it's a bit strange because this season was so open, and just with the round robin and things, and one team was up, the next was down, and then the next thing, you know, a team came back from nowhere, and it's like, oh God, anyone can win this, but we've still ended up with Dublin and Kerry. But no one's really complaining. I haven't seen a final between the two since 2019, so that's enough of a break. But there's just so much narrative and curiosity around it because all the players coming back for Dublin. Kerry obviously won the last time, but Dublin dominated the decade before that. It's hard to tell where both teams are at.
Which players would you be most looking forward to watching, Rean, between the two teams?
I suppose obviously Clifford, you could watch him all day, every day, you know what I mean? The stuff he does with the ball, especially when you play in a similar position, it's scary what he can do with the ball. And then I like watching Fenton as well. He just glides around the field so effortlessly, you know what I mean? And he can take off just about two steps. He just sees into the ball and just clips it over the bar. And then I like watching McCarthy for Dublin as well. I think he's just a warrior, you know what I mean? He's never beaten no matter what. And I think if any young player was to be looking on watching someone who you want to be when you grow up, it would definitely be James McCarthy, just the way he plays the game. Like, I just have so much admiration for the way he goes about his business.
Yeah, he's hard as nails, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a tough man, yeah, and he throws his body into everything. It's just just unreal just to watch him go about his business.
Yeah. Am I right in saying that when you played Dublin last year in the league, was that your first time playing in Croke Park?
Yeah, that was the first time, yeah.
That's insane, isn't it? Like thinking that, you know, well, all these, like I suppose Dublin, they play in Leinster and things like that. But so for, that was your first year in Division 1 and coming up against, and that was like the Dublin team, you know, with that aura and stuff about them. Mm-hmm. But you beat them, you know, like in Broga. What was that match like and that experience coming up against like Fenton and McCarthy and the likes?
Yeah, I suppose we sort of were building for that the whole way through pre-season, that one game, and we sort of seen the Dubs maybe weren't at their full strength, you know what I mean? And we sort of targeted getting 2 points off them up there. And the first time playing in Croke Park, like obviously it was unreal, like the space you have inside, and we're letting the ball just move inside at will. And of course, when you're full forward and you're in there and the ball's just coming one after the other, there's not much more you can ask for, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because you were full forward that day. You sort of shot the lights out. Croke Park definitely suits you. But since then, your position sort of changed. Well, it does still change as you go from full forward, then you're roaming, you're in and around the middle, coming deep.
You're making blocks against Cavan on the line.
Yeah, exactly, that's right. But you know, from the outside looking in, and we always said the same thing about Michael Murphy. It was sort of like, oh, they should just keep him near the goal. He's your most dangerous player. That's where he's at his most dangerous. But then, like, when we talked to Jamie Clark, he actually said he prefers you out getting involved and passing it. You, personally, what do you prefer playing, like, if you had a choice?
I suppose the game's changed that much. When I was younger, I sort of played more of a centre-half role the whole way up through school and with the club and stuff. And then I played midfield sort of when I was minor, and then I moved into more towards full forward. Obviously, you love playing in full forward when the ball's coming in one after the other, but in the modern game now, you might be lucky to get 2 or 3 balls and a half, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. inside, and you have to be so patient. And just the way we play with Armagh, sometimes I need to come out the field and get my hands on ball and walk back, and I don't mind the tackling aspect. I like getting stuck in around the midfield as well and being an option for kickouts and stuff, so I don't really mind. Wherever I'm asked to play, I'll just go and do my best wherever the team wants me.
Yeah, I thought you might say that.
Just as you mentioned there, growing up like in Crossmaglen, like when your dad was the manager in that, would you have been tagging along to trainings, and was that how the kind of love for Gaelic football started?
Yeah, we very rarely missed a training when we were growing up. Anytime he was going up to the field, me and Ashley would have been tagging along and in behind the goals, kicking out ball night after night, and any chance we got, we'd be out in the field kicking about, you know. And obviously it was special times in Cross then, they were winning All-Irelands one after the other, and you sort of felt you're a bit part of that because you were there every night, you're going with the team to the matches, you were on the field after the games, and I sort of, that's where our love for Gaelic really, really kicked off.
Dad was full back, was he?
He was a full back, centre half back, yeah.
Right, so would he have been like good influence, like a big influence in your career, and like would he tell you how a centre back or a full back doesn't like to be marked?
No, he wouldn't really say about that, but he'd just be trying to lecture about how to play forwards a few times, and we just have to tell him, you just stick to what you know and we'll stick to what we know, you know.
You were full back for a reason,
yeah,
old
exactly.
man. You mentioned James McCarthy there, and there was a quote from him, obviously like he's so admirable, that kind of that hardness. I'd say he doesn't back down from anything, the man. But he'd quote in the paper this week, he said, the 2021 semi-final, I was very disappointed with how I performed that day. That was the day against Mayo. And he said, you reflect and you go, that's not going to happen again. You have to be like that if you want to play at the highest level. Like, I suppose the fact that he still has that appetite is another thing to admire. And Alan Brogan was here with us, and he was saying that like if Dublin lose that, like it just, James McCarthy would be personally hurt, like when they lose. Like that's is that something you take from him as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I suppose he hasn't experienced that many losses through his career, you know what I mean? But I suppose even the way he came back in last year's All-Ireland semi-final, and he was absolutely exceptional, you know, against Kerry, and the year before he said about Mayo, so he already writ that wrong then the following year, and he's probably in running for player of the year this year, you know what I mean? Just shows his mentality that he refused to stay a day, and any chance he gets to improve, he's trying to do it. Like,
is that like something that you'd have in your own game, that if you're looking back in a game that you're thinking, you'd be thinking about what you did wrong more so than what you did right?
Oh, absolutely. Even when you win games, you still be thinking, I missed a free here or a free there or a shot here, or could have walked back harder the next time. And you just have to take all them learnings, any learning you can get, and try to make yourself better all the time.
That kind of mentality, just to James McCarthy, it sort of reminds me of Kieran McGeaney. Well, the way that people talk about him, he'd be sort of similar in that way. And from the outside perception of McGeaney is that he's like a real hard line, you know, working hard is the main priority. But I read a lot too that his man management is what makes him so successful, and like he actually is so friendly with all the players. You know, what's he like, you know, behind sort of what we can see in the media?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose there's this perception in the media about him that he's just a stone cold figure, you know, yeah, what I mean? But behind the scenes, his man to man management with us, there's nothing he couldn't do enough for, you know what I mean? He wants to see us all do well off the field as well, and he's up for a laugh and a bit of crack as well, you know what I mean, off the field. And I suppose the management team we have all bond well together, and that shows then with us, we're a tight-knit group, you know what I mean, and they're a tight-knit management team, and I suppose we all get on the best. Like,
you mentioned how you, like, if you miss one that you'd be looking back at the one that you missed. Like, in fairness, you haven't missed too many, but like the big threes, the ones that are coming up in the closing stages of games, is that something that you kind of love, the pressure or something like that?
Yeah, I suppose so. I suppose there's been a few big ones now, like, that I've got, but you just have to trust what you've done before. You've kicked them frees hundreds of times, and obviously opponents are sort of trying to get in your head before you're taking them, and then there's nothing nicer to see them go over the bar then and just shut them up for a few minutes, you know what I mean? It's nice, like, but yeah, the pressure doesn't really affect me that much, kicking them. You know what you've done, and you go through your routine, and once you make a good strike with the ball, then you're confident enough that it's going to go where you want it to go.
You haven't brought out the John Cena celebration in a few years.
No. Yeah, you have to score a goal to be able to do. Scoring goals to be able to do celebrations. No, that's when I was a bit younger. Put it away for a while, and
maybe in a few years.
The big three that springs to mind is obviously the one against Galway, right at the death to keep you in it. I think they took the game to extra time, didn't it? So, like, our man were out at that stage. This free kick was from like an unbelievable distance. You set it down, and like everything would tell you that, you know, it wasn't going to go over the bar, but it never looked like you were in doubt. And when it soared over, I mean, talk me through that. Is that just like another day to you, or how do you do something like that? Because it's insane.
Yeah, I suppose that free was a good bit out looking back, but I just remember the wind in Crow Park sort of changed the suit kicking in off the right, and I looked over and I says, I'll chance this and have a go at it. And I just went through my normal routine and calmed myself down with a few breaths, and as soon as I kicked it, I knew that I was going to have a chance of going over. I couldn't have struck it any better, you know what I mean?
Did you see the footage of Oisín McConville celebrating in the studio afterwards?
Yeah, I've seen it. He enjoyed it as well, I think it's just a pity we couldn't go on and finish the job then after, you know what I mean?
You look kind of ice cold when you're hitting them frees. Is that like is that kind of a thing that you kind of try and put on, that like, right, I'm relaxed here, like?
Oh, not really. You just sort of go into your own wee world when you're taking them, you know what I mean? And sort of not like let anything get in your head, but as soon as it goes over the bar, you're not too ice cold anymore after. You're sort of doing anything you can.
Yeah, like, where did your routine just come from, like something that you practiced, or is it something you kind of take a few short little steps before you're coming up to it, or is that just something that was like comfortable to the way that you kicked the ball?
Yeah, I never really know why I've done that since I was young. That's just what I've done, and I've tried a few times to hit frees without doing that, sort of the way other players might just walk up to the ball begging and stuff, but it doesn't really work for me, and it's sort of I always go back to the same routine, and it's something that works for me. I don't really know why I do them short little steps, but it seems to work, so
it's mad because I've tried that as well the odd time, the begging one, and you're just kind of, it's if you're playing golf, but you're trying to make it look easy, like, and then you kick the ball like 30 yards kind
of. Yeah, I know, yeah. Okay, I suppose there's no real better striker of a ball in the game than begging, you know what I mean? He just clips it over effortlessly from 45 yards, and it's lovely to watch. Like, I don't think there's a nicer kicker in the game to watch when he just sails it over through the post. Like,
probably not. He's kind of like a golfer, and you're a bit of a golfer yourself.
Okay, I try my hand that time when you get out. Me and a few of the boys play there. Me and Jason Duffy would go out a fair bit, and we take Roy Grigan with us. He likes to go around and gather our balls for us because he's not much use himself, you know what I mean? So
he'd be hitting the balls out wide, would you?
Well, he'd need about 20 out in the course for him.
Do you do a little run-up before you hit the golf ball?
No, I don't know.
It is a bit similar though to hitting a free, like when you're on the tee, like you kind of be, would you be getting into like a zone kind of like that?
Oh, not really, I suppose. when we're out golfing, it's a bit of crack, like, you know what I mean? But and it does get very serious then after a while when you can't hit a ball straight or something. But it's nice to get out in the course and get your phone away for a few hours and sort of relax with the boys, like.
100%. There was one thing Daryl Shea had in the paper this week that I wanted to ask you about, and he was saying that what if he was in Kerry's position, what he'd be doing is he'd be peppering Stephen Cluxton with high balls after the one he dropped. I know he only dropped one against Monaghan, but he said that's what he'd be doing. And it's something that you did a bit last year against Galway. Was that like on purpose, or did you just kind of decide I'm going to balloon a few up here? And
I think sort of when we started letting high balls in against Galway, sort of desperation stuff, and then we seen that a few of them were walking and sort of causing a bit of pandemonium back in their defence. And sure, if you see that it's causing trouble, you may as well keep letting a few in. I suppose with Donaghy in the backroom team, there's no better man to be saying you'd let a high ball in on top of the keeper, you know what I mean, with his track record. But I don't really know if Pepper and Stephen Cluxton with high balls is gonna faze him that much. He's been dealing with that his whole career, like, you know what I mean. And I don't think that's the best tactic to be going with against them.
Well, just your tactic on the Galway game, you were obviously kicking it, but last year in general, Armagh were a much more kicking team, or it looked that way, and then this year seemed a little bit more focused on the defensive side of things, and that's one of the things that led to the criticism, even though you've really got probably further this year than last year. What's your thinking behind that? Like, why did Armagh decide to change things?
I don't really know if there's that big of a change, really. I suppose you sort of have to play to suit your opponents, and sometimes if we were going that sort of all out attack style, we're leaving ourselves open at the back, you know what I mean, and it doesn't really work. So you're sort of trying to marry both together a wee bit. Maybe we were a wee bit more defensive and we didn't get as much ball forward, but I think in a few games some of the football we played was unreal to watch in a few different spells, like. And I suppose when you're playing the game yourself, there's nothing more you want to do than be getting the ball and letting it go and letting the ball do the work, but it doesn't often lend itself to that all the time, you know what I mean?
No, because I think Monaghan in particular, because that was probably the one game going into it, because like Derry were obviously Ulster champions beforehand, so they were probably favourites going into that Ulster final, but Armagh were the favourites going into the Monaghan game. And I think the thinking was, if you guys have more firepower, then, you know, go for it a little bit more rather than play that sort of defensive thing. Did it feel like it went that way? Did you mean to, do you know?
Not really. I think every time Monaghan got the ball, they sort of took the sting completely out of the game every time they got it, and it sort of slowed us down and did a lot of men back every time we did get it back. So it was hard sort of to play that attacking brand of football all the time, and two teams then sort of ended up maybe canceling each other out a bit, and it just came down to a bit of a shootout in the second half, who could take their chances the most. And towards the end then the game sort of opened up a bit and there was a bit more free scoring football, but I suppose both teams sort of cancelled each other out, and it was hard sort of to get your own game going, you know.
You definitely took your chance with that outside the boot. It went over the bar, probably thought it was going to win it, and then they got the equaliser. And it's just weird because at the other end they've got Conor McManus who's like the ultimate clutch player, you know, like when it comes to them moments, he wants the ball, get it to him and he'll step up. You're sort of that player for Armagh. So do you feel like in your head you take more responsibility when the game's in that dire moment? You're like, yeah, give it to me, you know. Is that something you actively switch on, right? I'm going to be the person here to change this.
Yeah, well, I suppose so. One of my best strengths is me shooting, and if you have two or three good shooters in the field, we're aware at that time of the game that you're looking to get one of your main shooters in the ball, same way as Monaghan were looking to get McManus in the ball. So you're going to take that responsibility in your shoulders, and you're going to back yourself to score. When you get that, you might get one chance, you might get none, so you have to be ready whenever the ball comes to you.
After a day like that, extra time, and I think it was Aidan Farker went off, he had such a bad cramp, he had to be lifted off. I'd say in the dressing room, like, on top of being like devastated, you're all absolutely goosed as well, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was a long game, and especially in Crow Park, you know, it's a massive pitch and you're knocking your pan in for, what was it, 100 odd minutes, and then there's penalties on top of that and everything else, and it's just an emotional roller coaster as well as everything else. You're just completely drained, you know what I mean? So everyone was just sort of in bits in the change rooms after, just laying there, didn't know what to think, you know what I mean, which makes it even worse, I suppose.
You didn't have any cramps coming on in the game, because honestly, when the game goes to extra time, I find you just be like, wow, like it's because you're not really training for it, I suppose. You're thinking that we've 70 minutes coming here and you're going to empty yourself and then you have to go again.
Yeah, there was definitely cramps. I don't think there was anyone left not cramping, but you just sort of have to push through it, and the adrenaline sort of gets you over the lane. You know, it's extra times generally 1 point either way, so you just have to make as many runs as you can and sort of do what you can for the team in them moments.
I don't think Ethan Rafferty went down with a cramp, but he could be all the run he's doing for you.
Yeah, Ethan. Yeah, Ethan's changed our game massively since he's been in the nets. He's like having an extra field player, you know, and the runs he goes on, he's dummying people coming out of his own full back lane. He's charging up the field and he's kicking scores as well. Like, he's very accurate, Ethan is, and we've no problem with him coming out the field at all. Like, he's like an extra sort of quarterback for us. He can set things up and make things happen for us.
Yeah, it must be great for you, like, when you have the ball and you see this lad bombing up on your outside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you see him coming steam train past, and he's not slow either, you know what I mean? But I suppose he'd just be well rested in at the back most of the game, so he can go on these big runs then.
He's some man to throw the dummy though, as you said, like.
Yeah, oh yeah, he is, yeah. Sure, Ethan's played out the field for years, yeah. And he's deadly outfield player as well. And when he gets on that left foot, there's not too many he's not gonna score. Like, he's got an absolute boomer of a left foot on him, and once you see him winding up, you're just thinking, have a go there, because he usually will put it over the bar for you.
Yeah, he likes the outside of the foot, just cut across it.
Yeah, he loves the outside of the boot. A wee fan pleaser, I think. I think he'd just be training with that once.
Traditionally, keepers, like in training, like beep tests and fitness tests and stuff, you know, they'd always be one of the first out, but he's probably quite high up in the GPS and stuff.
Yeah, he is, yeah. He used to be covering big distances there, but I suppose the keepers like to go in and take kickouts now and stuff when there's runs going on. He's slipped into that category now, so yeah. He's completely left out. They feel like he's away in the GKU now, as they call it.
You could be away hitting freeze. You could miss that.
No, definitely not. I wouldn't get away with that. Not a chance.
Ethan, like it's mad, isn't it, that the way it's gone, that goalies are, they have to be like that as well. But like, I think he is the most exciting out of any of them that I've seen, that he goes forward, he doesn't really jog forward, he goes forward with such purpose, like.
Yeah, well, he's got no handbrake on him, like he goes in with a full purpose, whilst the other ones are sort of goalkeepers trying to, you know, bring back their like outfield sort of days. Like Niall Morgan and Rory Began always did it to like a degree, but
Morgan's like, good in fairness.
No, Morgan
too,
is. Yeah. I still think Tyrone hold him back a little bit though. Like he definitely doesn't come through the middle with all of the, I think, freedom, you know, that Ethan has. But Ethan takes it like with both hands, you know, and some of the scores he's got this year and last year in particular. Like, I remember him against Tyrone, he was unbelievable. No one had ever seen anything like that. I was like, this keeper's just, I think he's nailed 2 points in a row. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy things. And obviously a Tyrone fan, I was watching, I was like, well, we're not winning this game. Like, the keepers just came up and destroyed us.
So you're back again with Crosby Glen. You had a good run last year up until the Ballybay game. They stunned you in that one, I'd say, just because you had such a good start. You got the goal and then they kind of came.
Yeah, I suppose we started well and we got a black card then the start of the second half, and they just sort of went into a bit of a purple patch, and we couldn't claw our way back into it. We missed chance after chance and just kept giving them momentum, you know what I mean? But we knew coming into the game that Ballybay were no bad side at all, no pushover. And that's the way it turned out, and we weren't too happy with our performance. And I suppose looking forward, we're sort of trying to build on that and sort of not give teams that sort of run us, and we wouldn't be sort of happy with how the year finished out. So this year we've a big push on to try and get back in Ulster and hopefully go a bit further. Maybe
nice to get back in with the club, like when you've been away kind of all year, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, some of your best friends are with the club, and there's nothing better than going up to the field, you know, on a Tuesday and Thursday night and training up there. Like, and it's nice for the club people as well to see you back, because they're the ones obviously that moulded you into the sort of player you are, you know, and they'd be delighted to see you come back playing league games, and sort of gets a few more people up watching, that they know a few of us are going to be back playing and stuff. And it's great to see that and get a bit of buzz back into the town, you know.
It's only after coming into my head there that we, about 3 or 4 years ago, we did a video at Crosby Glen, and I was interviewing your granny, Margaret McConville, and she was talking about the nettle soup she used to give the players. Is she still at that?
We still have...
And the cream bun, actually.
We still have tea and buns the Friday night before a championship game. That's still going on. I don't think that tradition will ever end. Yeah, she'd just be up still doing that. And she's a credit in what she does, you know what I mean? She's been there longer than anyone in the club, probably, and it's just a wee tradition we have going in the club, and it's nice to keep it going, you know?
Yeah, there was a few other women with her as well, and that there seemed to be a great community kind of spirit up there in the club.
Oh yeah, I suppose there's a great community spirit in the whole across, you know. It's, the town doesn't really have it easy and never really has. People like to sort of throw stones across, and sort of any chance to get, they like to sort of try run the town down a bit, but that just brings us in the town closer together, and everyone in the town wants the best for each other, and it's, I love the place, and anyone that's there loves the place, you know what I mean, and it's very special to everyone that's in it.
Yeah, she kind of was my abiding memory that we were talking about games from back in the day, and she had like the encyclopedia of knowledge about the GA club. Like I'd say she's nearly like she nearly is Cross McGlen, I'd say. Like,
oh, absolutely, yeah. When most people think of Cross McGlen, she's the first person that'll pop in your head, you know. And when we were younger, we used to be up in our house, and she'd have all the old All-Irelands on tape, and we'd put them on and watch them game after game, watch the All-Irelands and Armagh finals and everything, and she'd be telling you what the next kick was going to be before it even came on the tape, you know. So she's been there from the very start of it all, and hopefully she'll be there for longer now.
Is there much young players coming up along with your younger brother in Cross?
Yeah, there is. There's a good wee minor team there, and I suppose every year we sort of like to take three or four players through to the senior team from the minor team, and if you're getting that every year, then you're going to have fresh blood into the team every year, and that's not a bad thing to keep boys on their toes, you know. And younger boys these days, I don't think they lack any confidence when they get in there. Maybe a few of them, you can't tell them what to do, or they don't like it too much, but I think that's just a new breed of player that come in. They have a lot of confidence in themselves, and that's great to see too.
Well, one of the players, obviously a teammate of yours, Jimmy Clark, and friend of the show, we had him on a couple of times. You would have grew up watching him, actually. He'd been the young star in all of those All-Ireland, or a fair few of those All-Ireland winning teams. What's he like as a teammate, and what's it like playing with someone that you obviously probably looked up to growing up?
Yeah, so it was my childhood growing up. I was watching Jamie with Cross and Armagh, and he was a breath of fresh air. Such as he just came on the scene, he just took the game by storm, you know. And then obviously I got to play with him for Armagh and play with him for Cross. I suppose maybe a few years ago the first time we got to play for each other with Cross, and now he's back this year captain of Cross, and we've a good relationship, you know what I mean. One of us usually plays in and one of us usually plays out, and we know sort of what way each other likes the ball in and stuff, and it's great to play with him because he can see things that other players mightn't even dream of seeing, you know what I mean. And he's just that wee step ahead all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Have you got into coaching any of the young lads in Cross? I know, was it Tony McEntee was coaching like the under-10s or something, and Aaron Kernan was coaching a team as well?
I was in with Tony McEntee a few years ago. Both of us were coaching the under-15 team, and haven't been back since. You don't really have much time for much coaching now when you're with Armagh and back with Cross, but it's definitely something I'd like to do going forward, you know what I mean. You like to give a bit back to the club in any way you can, even if it was one or two nights a week, you know, any chance you'd free, you'd like to help out in whatever way you could.
So looking ahead to the final, like it was a bit like you were with Monaghan and Dublin, were tight with them for about 60 minutes and then they kind of kicked on. In the other semi-final it was the same, Kerry were tight with Derry. Like, who were you more impressed with in the semi-finals?
I suppose the Dublin game, they drove on in the last 10 minutes, and I suppose Monaghan just ran out of that wee bit of steam, I suppose. And then Derry will sort of be kicking themselves. I think they had Kerry on the ropes and they missed a few chances or whatever, they didn't convert their chances, and fair play to Kerry. Once they got up the field in the far end, everyone, their chances went over the bar, you know what I mean. It just shows how clinical they are and ruthless they are, and you can't give them a sniff of the post or it'll be going over the bar.
So who are you? Some people were saying that earlier on in the year the Kerry were a bit too reliant on O'Shea and on Clifford. Like, would you go along with that, or do you think that there's a lot of bullets to fire from different angles?
Oh, well, I suppose if you've Clifford and O'Shea, why wouldn't you be over reliant on them? You know what I mean? Why wouldn't you get them the ball as much as you could? The two of them usually score upwards on 10 points between them. That's some start before anyone else even chips into the team, you know. I wouldn't really buy into the whole that they're too over reliant on them. If you have two marquee forwards in there, you're going to give them the ball as much as you can, you know. But I suppose Dublin have serious firepower up there as well, with Conn and Paul Mannion, the likes, and I think it'll be a bit of a shootout the weekend, and both teams are going to go hell for leather at it.
Yeah, I think like the criticism was that it can be a bit like predictable, that they're always looking for Clifford, but and people would say the same thing sometimes about Armagh, that they're always looking for you, and especially in those late moments, like when it's nearly kind of obvious. Maybe the same with Conor McManus with Monaghan, but I suppose is it tough when you're in that position and like there could be two or three lads looking at you?
Oh, it is, I suppose, yeah. But if two or three lads are maybe focusing on you, it leaves another two or three lads free in your team somewhere else, you know what I mean? So if teams like to focus on you and try to take you out of the game, you can just drift over the lane and maybe take two or three boys with you, and then someone else pops up with your score and you just have sort of a wee smile to yourself and think that you're only after dragging two or three of them out of the way, you know what I mean? And someone else pops in with a score. Like, it doesn't matter if you're scoring or assisting, you know what I mean? You're happy enough just as long as the team's scoring.
And Clifford, like, is he a player that you'd watch a lot, kind of just being like trying to learn things off him, kind of?
Oh, absolutely. I suppose he's in a unique style of playing the game, you know what I mean? He's the way he can get shots off and in a few metres of space, it's absolutely serious. And I suppose anyone in Ireland, any forward in Ireland, would be looking at him thinking what they could learn off him, you know what I mean? And he's just a joy to watch. Anytime he goes out on the field, I think everyone in Ireland would pay money in to watch him any day, you know what I mean? Some of the stuff he does is absolutely frightening. Like,
what do you think is like the best thing about him?
I suppose just the way he doesn't get fazed, you know what I mean? There's attention coming in him from all angles, and he's well fit to look after himself too. He gives as good as he gets, you know what I mean, with defenders, and obviously that's nice to see for a forward as well. He's not afraid to get stuck in and let them know he's there as well, you know what I mean? And obviously his score taken under pressure when Kerry really needed him the last day, he just stood up and kicked 3 or 4 points in a row, and you're just thinking that's something else right there.
You give as good as you get as a forward as well.
I suppose sometimes, yeah, maybe I go for the edge at sometimes, but listen, I like playing that bit in the edge, and I suppose I don't like taking a step back, but you just have to rein yourself in maybe at times when sort of things are going too far. But I like that aspect of the game too, the physical stakes, and I enjoy that side of it.
Enjoy the battle, I suppose, as well with lads, and then you have your match, and then you shake hands at the end. It's kind of, you know, as long as it's not going over the line, that's kind of what you want to do, like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you're having a battle with a fullback all day long and he wins a few balls and you score a few points at the end of the game, you're just going to shake hands with each other and that's it, over to the next game, you know.
Yeah. Who was on you in the Derry game?
Chris McCaig was on me, yeah.
He was on you for the full, because just obviously he was in the spotlight for Mark and Clifford and stuff. Like, what was that battle like? Because, you know, he'd often be regarded as the best man marker maybe in the game.
Yeah, I suppose I sort of tried to take him out around the field a bit more, you know, and not isolate myself inside, and was able to get a bit of joy that way. But he's a very sticky defender, doesn't give you much space, you know what I mean? And he's great in the air, which would be one of my strengths as well, you know, and he beat me in a couple of balls in the air as well. But he's very difficult to mark, like, and I suppose you relish them challenges playing against the best defenders in the game, testing yourself against them.
Is that one of your favourite skills, the high catch? Like, would you be telling the boys, like, if I'm inside, let the ball in high?
Yeah, well, it's nice to see a few balls coming in every now and again. Like, I suppose nowadays in Gaelic football, there's not too many balls, they're just lumped away, you know. But if you put any bit of quality on it, you're looking to fight for the ball going inside, like, and that'll be one of my favourite things. Even growing up, I always loved high catching, and I think it's a great skill of the game in general.
Well, yeah. you sort of touched on it, you, Kieran Donaghy, and the coaching staff. Like, surely he's mad for that, because, like, his whole career, you know, all of his highlight reels are big balls coming in and him out muscling everybody.
Yeah, absolutely, and especially when me and Andrew inside, Andrew Martin, I think he's one of the best fielders in the game. Like, his leap's just insane, how he's able to judge the flight of the ball, you know. And Donaghy would be telling us different things and different tactics inside about, and even boys out the field, for them to get the ball in, you know, what sort of way for them to set it up to get it in, not just be lumping ball in top of you aimlessly, just to walk it out to the wing sort and play it in from there, which is beneficial to us because it's a lot handier for us to catch. But yeah, it's great to learn off Donaghy because you can learn so much. He's obviously been there and done so much with Kerry, like, and it's just great to learn off him.
Well, one of the teams he did it against was Armagh. Did you ever bang any crack out about that? Because Kieran McGeaney would have played in that game, I think, in 2006. And forget who the goalkeeper was. Was it Hardy?
Yeah, Paul Hardy. Yeah. And I think he was marking Francie that day. I don't think he got much of a kick the first half. And then the second half, he scored the goal or whatever. But we'd have a bit of slagging back and forth with him. But hockey's good crack. You can have a bit of crack with him about anything.
Is he an honorary Armagh man now?
Oh, I think he is. Yeah, absolutely. He's loved up there, and we all have great time for him. Whatever he does in the future, you know what I mean. He's definitely someone we've massive respect for.
What would you be like on match week? Just thinking of the boys that are playing in the final this week. Like, when you have a big game coming up, do you kind of just go about your business, working away, and kind of try and keep it as normal as you can, or is it like? Would you kind of be getting a little bit tight and tense? I remember watching up for the match the other night. Adrian Mullen's mother was on, and she was saying, like, I think it was Anna Geary was asking her how's all in the house, like the two boys on the panel. She's like, oh, he's very quiet, not saying anything to me this week.
Yeah, I suppose go about walk as normal. That's a good thing about the lane of walking in. You know, you wouldn't really get too many people passing. You'd be walking away on your own with a few other lads just, and there'll be very little talk about the game, and that's what I'd like, you know what I mean, just to be in your own sort of bubble, you know. But I suppose the mother at home, she'd be more nervous than what we'd be, and she'd be fretting about the game or whatever. But we sort of just, I don't like to get too stressed out about it. I just like to go on with my week as normal, you know.
Yeah. Who is, I asked this to Conor Whelan last week, gave him the three questions. Who is going to win the match, who's going to be man of the match, and who's going to be footballer of the year?
I think Dublin's going to win the match, Fenton man the match, and Clifford footballer of the year.
Okay. Fenton man the match, Clifford footballer of the year. Okay, so I was putting my neck out, and I said that I think there's three men I would say is in the line for footballer of the year at the minute, and I was saying Clifford, Cormac Costello, and James McCarthy. And people are laughing at me when I'm saying Cormac Costello, saying he they don't think he's up there, but I think he's been Dublin's best forward this year.
Yeah, he probably has. He's been unbelievable, and I think this is actually the first final that he's going to start, given that he's won so many All-Irelands before. But I think he's always been coming off the bench in them with that sort of great Dublin team, so this is sort of his time, isn't it? Like, and I think I could totally see him winning player of the year.
So who is your winner, man of the match, in football there?
My winner, I do think Dublin will win. I think it'll be a very tight game, and then Dublin will start springing from the bench. Your Jack McCaffrey's, Dean Rocks, and what have you. Colm Pascal, like, as another player who's unbelievable this season. He was quiet in the semi-final, so he's probably due a good one this time round. I'm going to give man of the match James McCarthy. I just can't see him letting it go. And player of the year, because, you know, like the all-star politics, like, it's, they usually give it to someone who wins. So, but I do think probably David Clifford.
Okay. So rest of the year, Ian, you're looking forward to the championship now with Cross Berlin, probably a few weeks away. Yeah,
it's at the end of August now. We're just getting a bit of training under the belt now the next few weeks, and looking forward to get back at it with Cross. You know, there's nothing but football and Cross, really, and that's what we live for down there. And there's nothing better than when championship games start rolling around and you're meeting people in the town, and all they want to talk about is football. And it's nice to give them something to look forward to in the dark winter as well, you know what I mean, get them out of the house. So I'm really looking forward to getting back into it.
Lovely stuff. Thanks a million to Reen for coming in with us today. Really enjoyed the chat. And thanks to Lee. And thanks to our sponsors, Sure, 72-hour protection. We're all looking forward to the football final on Sunday. And we'll be back Monday for a review show.
You've been listening to the GAA Hour, brought to you by Sports Joe and Sure. 72-hour non-stop protection, tested to the limits. Sure, it won't let you down.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.